Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2020, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 95, tearing apart paragraph 2 today. If he is not interested in your solution and ends with, gets hurt some more. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Kim T, the 12 traditions, Shelley E. Reading the text and support today is Leah S, Abby S, Ellen D, newcomer greeter, sponsor, gatherer, Elena AM, and announcements, Leslie M. Welcome and thank you. The reference numbers, we'll call them the share ID numbers for yesterday's previous 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. That would be for Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. That share ID number is 14212, 14212. And then this morning we had a meeting already, and that would be for Thursday, March 5th, 2020, and that's the 7 a.m. Eastern Big Book Study meeting. That share ID number is 14217, 14217. And you'll need those when you go back to want to re-listen to these meetings. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Kim T., compulsive reader, Denver, Colorado, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim T., and welcome to Team Thursday. Glad you're here. I will now ask Shelley E. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Hi, Shelley.
Good morning, Melly. I appreciate your service. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted at all times, and that is asking then particular attention to the star 1 function only. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 95, tearing apart paragraph 2 today. If he is not interested in your solution, it ends with gets hurt some more. And I will now ask Leah S. to open up this meeting by reading that paragraph and giving her comments on her experience. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. And thank you, everyone. This is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn. So here we are talking about the newcomer that is coming in and is expecting favors from you, particularly in financial areas of your life. And in my humble mind, this is something that I would have to ask my higher power to direct me of what it is that I can do, or it is something that I want to do. And when someone comes in and says, you know what, I'll listen to you because you might do me a favor and you might borrow me some money and then I'll be able to do this program, I have to do some thinking about that, because this he may do after he gets hurt some more. This program is a program of honesty, honesty within yourself and honesty with the outside of yourself. I used to have where it was called a double personality. I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to be someone else. But the truth is, I really do have an allergy of my body to certain foods, foods that I cannot control. And that is the truth. It is within me, and it is with outside of me. In other words, I cannot consume certain foods, and I am of clear mind with that. And then I have the obsession of my mind. My mind goes crazy once I do ingest those foods. And I do not act rationally. I do not even do things normally when I do that. I cannot do that. And once I have that clarity within me, I have to have a superpower that will be able to help me out with everything in my life, especially with dealing with people that I for sure don't know, and with dealing with myself in areas that I do not know. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Leah S. So with that opens up the opportunity for others to comment on paragraph 2, page 95 this morning. If you would give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, we can take a moment. Hi, Santa.
Stacy J.
And I heard Shlomi, somebody just before you shared, oh, Shlomi Tana, that's what I was looking for.
Malky G.
Hi, Malky. Taking a breath for one more, but let's go with this. Santa H, Stacy J, Shlomi Tana B, Sherry KB, and Malky G. Good morning, Santa, again and again and again.
Good morning, Melanie. My name is Santa H, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. Oh, Melanie, I just love your energy. And I'm just going to piggyback on some things that Melanie shared, her nugget of wisdom with us prior to the recording. Great time to be on a meeting before the recording. So many exciting things go on. In this big book gives me instructions on how a protege is supposed to be taken through the process in order to find a power greater than himself through these 12 simple steps. But also this program, this chapter particularly, and the next three chapters following it, tells me as to how I am to behave and conduct myself as a guide. So just like the protege has instructions, I as a guide have instructions that I must follow. And the people that I'm working with, they are in my life for a reason. I am to be friendly and to be encouraging to all fellows in program. But when a protege turns their attention to me, I have to be looking for their willingness in the solution that I have to offer them or we have to offer them. And so if they're not interested in the solution just by their behaviors, not by their words, their actions, then the most loving thing that I can do is just leave them alone. And that doesn't mean that I don't care. I care greatly about every fellow protege that calls me, that comes into my life, because they're there for a reason, and they're there to help me, even if it's just for a few seconds, a few hours, or for a few weeks, or for a few years. Who knows how the relationship is going to go? But like it says here, they may get hurt some more, just like we read in the previous chapters, is that maybe I need to do some more eating. And it's not for me to judge or to get in the way of that. And I love what Kim G said earlier at an earlier meeting where she said that she is not a life coach or a diet buddy. And so it's very important that I let individuals know up front what I'm here for, the purpose of this relationship, and what I have to offer and what I don't have to offer them. And I'm so grateful for all the great shares that came earlier and all the shares that are about to come. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Santa H. Stacy J., you're going to come in now, and then Slamitana B. will come in after you.
Thank you very much. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. I want to focus on the second part of the paragraph where it says that, you know, if the potential sponsee wants us to act as a nurse for their sprees. And so what I thought about that is, you know, what would that be? That would be potentially someone who continues to relapse and then comes back to us, you know, broken by a relapse, but then goes out and does it again and again and again. And what I thought to myself, this reminded me of a kind, and the whole paragraph sort of, I think, paints a picture of a sponsee or a potential sponsee who is in a victim mode. And there's this great line from AA that I totally love, which is, "Pour me, pour me, pour me another drink." And I think that's a bit like what this is describing. You know, if the sponsee is in a victim mode where they just want to be helpless and have the and they expect the sponsor to come in and do everything for them, that is not an attitude that's going to facilitate recovery. And I've certainly been there myself. And what I've noticed in the sponsees that I work with who seem to have a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, the work rests on them. They know that the work rests on them, not on me. And I can't do the work for them, just like my sponsor couldn't do the work for me. And when I was finally broken enough and desperate enough that my sponsor would point me in the direction of the work I needed to do and I would go and do it, that seemed to be kind of the ingredients needed for the recipe to work. And so when it says at the end that the person may need to go out and get hurt some more, you know, the willingness to do the work, I think, you know, the disease will finally make me willing to do the work instead of expecting my sponsor to, you know, touch me with a magic wand, poof, I'm done, I'm cured type of thing. And so it's a small paragraph, but an incredibly insightful one about how addicts behave and what the recipe for recovery looks like in my mind. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey J. Slamitana B., your 3 minutes starts now, and then Sherry KB will follow.
Thank you so much, Melanie. It's wonderful to hear your voice. I'm outside, so I apologize if it's a little bit windy out here. I'm Slamitana B., recovered in Philadelphia. And for me, this paragraph is speaking about boundaries as a sponsor. And just, I guess for me personally, the way that I read it is a reminder that as a sponsor, it's quite easy to get codependent on our sponsees. And that is not something that's going to help them or us. You know, I think about the way that I used to sponsor before I joined this meeting and work the steps with the Vision for You sponsor. And there were many times when, as a food sponsor, I would have sponsees that were struggling, that kept relapsing, they kept picking up, they kept slipping, that were in victim mode. And I wouldn't drop them because I didn't want them to feel bad. I didn't want them to feel like I'd abandoned them in their difficulty. But that's really not my job. What I've come to understand from working the steps in this way and reading the big book is that, you know, I am not, as people often say, I'm not their therapist. I'm not their nurse. I'm not their banker. I actually am a life coach, which makes it a little bit difficult for me personally, because I really do feel people's pain, and I can't stand seeing people hurting, and I want to help them fix it, and I can help them as a life coach, as long as they're willing to do their work. But as a sponsor, that's something different. I'm not in life coach mode. I'm in sponsor mode. And, you know, I know that I was in relapse not too long ago. And when I was in the food, there was really nothing that anybody else could do until I was ready to have God take me out. And a sponsee has to be in that place also. They have to really be in that place where they're willing to do their own work and to know that nobody's really going to carry them through it. They have to be willing to surrender so that God can carry them through it. And I think that's an important point as well, because as a sponsor, I am not God either. I am not my sponsee's higher power. God is. And this program really teaches us to trust and rely on God. And that's a gift we can give to our sponsees. Thank you.
Thank you, Swamit Hana B. Sherry KB, you're next. And then Malky will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Melanie, as always. And everybody on the line and Team Thursday. And welcome, newcomers. You know, I love that there's constantly we're getting directions and what to do with this in the book, and I just think it's fabulous. So I don't have to think too much about it because I can follow these directions. And what I think about is that I can't want it more than the sponsee wants it for them. They have to want it more. I'll meet them where they're at. I'll help them. But if they don't want it, I don't want to waste my time with them. I'm here. I'll take outreach calls and talk to you. But if you want to do this work, you got to show up with me. I'm showing up for you. You got to show up with me, because it really does work. And I think about someone said it's not for people who need it. It's not for people who want it. It's for people who work it. And so it reminds me of page 88 that it works if you work it. And I can't. I'm not your nutritionist. I'm not your therapist. I'm here. I'm not your, and you know, we've talked about this yesterday. I'm not your friend. A difference is that if you want me to be your friend, I can be your friend, but I can't be your step guide at the same time. It doesn't work for me. I can do one or the other, but a lot of times when I've worked with people, we end up becoming friends. That has happened. But I just know that I do have requirements, and I lay it out. When I lay out the spiritual toolkit, when I say this is what I do and this is how I do it and this is what's worked for me, I can only do what works for me. And I know that God's always got to be in there, and God guides me, and I ask God for guidance and directions constantly with each person I work with because the personalities are different. And so that's how I go about it. But I know that this stuff works, because if it can work for me, it can definitely work for you. But if you've got different ideas, and I only want to follow the directions in this book, because I've been around a long time, and I have been that type of sponsor where I have, you know, I don't want to chase anybody. You know, if they want it, you know, I'm here. But I do have requirements, and I let everybody know everything up front, exactly what to expect, and what I give and what, you know, what's expected. And it seems to dance really well. It seems to do really well. But it's that wanting to do that. And I might not be the right fit for you. You'll find somebody who is, because we're garden variety. How we do the basic sponsoring the same way, but there's just different personalities. And thank God for God and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. And here's some good news. After Malky G shares, we're going to open it up for additional comments on page 95, paragraph 2. So if you want to get ready, you have 3 minutes to pipe up. Hi, Malky. It's your 3 now.
Hi, Melanie. It's Malky G from New Jersey. The line that really popped out for me was, if he is not interested. And I really thought, in the face of recovery, my job is, if he is not interested, my job is to make him interested. And I would harp and push people. I was like a salesperson. I thought my part in giving service is to sell what I've got, how amazing it is and how it worked for me, and sort of throw it on people and get it in their skin, and I have the power to make them interested. Today I work in such a calmer way, because today my job is not to sell it. My job is not to make people interested. My job is just to be a messenger of God. Just whatever He wants me to do, whatever God has changed in my life and transformed me, I just show up, whoever I can do for another person. And it's such a calm, I have such a calm, tranquil way of sponsoring and giving service today, which used to be service was always such a stressful, anxiety-ridden thing for me, because this self-will runs so deep in me. Every day in recovery, my self-will is rearing its ugly head. And I need to really do the work to really every day get centered and bring God in. Because my experience is, my transition from self-will to living God's will was a very excruciating, painful experience. And I just want to help and support people the way I could, is support them through that pain. I can't take away their pain. I can't tell them what their journey. I don't know what their journey is. I just had a very humbling experience that I'm working with someone, a newcomer who's in a lot of pain. And my self-will cropped up. I told them, you've got to do this. This is what helped me at this point. And I was pushing them to do it very strongly. And I really thought it came from a God-centered place. And it was amazing for me to watch how God had completely transformed their journey very differently with what I was telling them to do. And again, it was another humbling experience that might just to get quiet, how deep the self-will is and how powerful living in God's will is. And my job is just to keep showing up and doing God's will. And I do that every day. And thank you so much for these meetings and everyone on the line who helps me. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Malky G. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 95. I'll take some names.
Barbara
Terry
E.
S. and Ben.
Hi, Barbara E. And then did you say Terry S.? Oh, from Ben.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, hi, Terry.
Hi.
Mo H.
Hey, Mo. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ellen D.
Hi, Ellen. I got you down. Okay, that brings us right back up to the top. One more time.
Margo P.
Hi, Margo. Gotcha. Okay, let's stop there. I'm going to go right back up to the top of the list with Barbara E., then Terry S., Mo H., Ellen D., and Margo P. Your 3 minutes start now, Barbara.
Oh, well, thank you so much for this beautiful meeting and all the shares that have come before. This is important for me because, first of all, I meet a lot of people in my face-to-face meetings. They've come in for a diet. They haven't come in to be transformed. They haven't been, they're not looking for a spiritual makeover. They simply want to lose the weight. So I approach them in friendship and fellowship. I walk over, I greet them. I say, hello, I'm Barbara E. And I've been in this program for a long time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. That's if it's a face-to-face meeting. If it's someone from Vision for You, they're well acquainted with the fact that we use the Big Book. So, of course, I talk to them from a different point of view. But I always say to them, and this may go against the grain of other people, I say, you are the architect of your own food plan. You don't listen to what other people say. You can check with a nutritionist. You can check with your doctor, but I am not that. I'm just another compulsive overeater willing to guide you as best I can through the Big Book. And I may do it imperfectly. I may not be right for you. We may need to part companies as sponsor and sponsee, but that doesn't mean we have to stop being friends. But when I take someone on as a sponsor, I take them on in all seriousness, not in friendship. We can be friends afterwards, but when we get to work, we get to work immediately. And I expect my sponsees to call me on time because that's respectful, and I've learned that from my sponsor. That's part of it all. And we all have different ways we teach people to ski down the mountain, and we all have different ways we sponsor. The only wrong way is not to do it at all. And I have learned so much from being a sponsor. I get much more sustenance and joy out of working with people than I ever did with food. And believe me, as a critical level compulsive overeater, that's an amazing thing for me to say. Have a beautiful day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Terry S. from Bend is next, and then Mo H. will come in after you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Terry S., recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon. I am so grateful to be here. And what really struck me in this paragraph is when I have been in relapse and I have finally been in enough pain and had enough courage to admit it, the overwhelming shame and embarrassment made that phone call to someone that I knew that was in recovery excruciating. And I did not need more shame thrown on top of me. So I take that into my phone calls when people reach out. I'm not making excuses for them. I spent years in victim mode. I totally understand that. But if someone is reaching out and admitting that they've been binging or doing their behaviors or whatever it is, I try to come to it with a very gentle, compassionate heart. Yes, sometimes it's frustrating when they're over and over and over, and I just keep pointing them back to the steps. When they're serious, they might reach out to me. Some people get tired of hearing about the steps, and so they'll find somebody else to call who will be more sympathetic. But I really needed OA when I was in those throes of the disease, and it just helped immensely. The other part is how painful I find it in any part of OA, local face-to-face meetings or telephone or conventions or whatever, and you see people in obvious relapse, and I feel their pain. It's so hard to watch that, knowing that there's an answer here, but they're too afraid, they're too stubborn, they're too whatever to reach out for it. My job is to make sure that OA is still here, and I owe a debt, and so I show up, I suit up, sometimes I shut up and I listen, and I'm very grateful that I'm learning this. I certainly don't do it perfectly, but I'm really trying, and I so appreciate everybody being here and the people that have held my hand as I've walked this path. So thank you. Everybody have a great day, and take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Terry S. Mo H., your turn. LND, get ready.
All right. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. And thanks all for being on the line and everyone giving service to this meeting. And welcome to the newcomers. So my name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And I looked at the sentence above this paragraph because I thought, well, I don't have much to contribute to this, but there's a lot in the paragraph. But the sentence above says, offer him friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help him. But now if he is not interested and if he expects you to act as, you know, as someone said, a life coach or a therapist or, you know, a shoulder to cry on, I'm not that person. I am a guide, and I really did appreciate what was said before the meeting began by Melanie about what this meeting is about. It is a study of the big book. It is not really my home meeting or my face-to-face meeting. It doesn't really replace that. This is studying the big book line by line. And so here, the last sentence here, this he may do after he gets hurt some more. And my sponsor will say, you know, you may need to do some more eating because they keep relapsing and relapsing and relapsing. And how do we help someone who is in constant relapse? Well, according to Harlan, we recover, recover, recover. We got to work our own program. So when I'm guiding sponsees through this big book, through studying the big book, by studying the big book, I have set guidelines. You know, it's a 15-minute conversation. We start out with the serenity prayer. We talk, are they abstinent and have they made an outreach call and gotten a nugget? And then we get right into the book. We don't talk about the weather or, you know, my next door neighbor or whatever. We get right into studying the big book, and you can get a lot done in 15 minutes. A lot of information can be passed back and forth. And it's for me as well as it is for them. In the old days, in my former days, I just dreaded sponsoring. I mean, you know, it was like a drudgery because all I would hear was somebody's sob story or this or that. And now it's I thoroughly enjoy it because we are exchanging information. We are delving deeper into the meaning of whatever chapter they are working on. And they're giving me information, and sometimes I have information I'm giving back to them. So if they're not ready, I'm not going to push them at all. And they can identify themselves real quickly because I ask them to get 3 days of abstinence before we start. And if they can't do that, they're not ready. They're absolutely not ready. So thank you. I will pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Yeah, thank you, Mo H. Absolutely. LND. You're up for 3 minutes now, and then Margot P. will come in after you.
Hi, this is Ellen D., gratefully recovered in Texas. So I just love how I'm being reminded again and again not to waste time with people that aren't ready, and that I'm not to force myself on them. And I really have found that, like, they need to want it more than I do. And I can find someone desperate who's ready. And if I leave these people, maybe they'll soon be convinced, the book tells me. So I will tell my sponsees up front, you know, and I actually send it to them in an email that I'm not their life coach, their doctor, their pal, their nutritionist, et cetera. And if some of those things come up when we're talking on the phone, I'll gently redirect them and say, well, perhaps you should call your therapist about that. I don't have experience with that. That's not what I can help you with. And also I've had to let people know that, you know, I'm not available to talk all day long. I mean, I have found that some people really want to call me several times a day and tell me all about their whole life, and that's not, I'm a guide, I don't do that. And I really recommend they get a God squad and call others, several people a day, to build up that tribe of their own so they're not heavily dependent on me. And then it says, he may do after he gets hurt some more. It reminds me of how alcohol is a great persuader. And then we'll be more open to spiritual things, it says, and we agnostic. So I think, you know, it can be a great persuader, and they can be open to maybe wanting to be sponsored and follow directions too. And lastly, I just think about how, well, at least I'm planting a seed. And into wives, it says, repeated stumbling may convince them that they must act. And so, you know, I'd hate to think someone has to get hurt some more, but they can learn from the experience, and maybe they'll really be ready. And yeah, it's just part of the journey for me with them. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that share. Now we're looking for Margot P., but I want to let you all know, I think we're going to have time for at least one or two more after Margot. So if you want to get ready for the invitation. Margot, your 3 start now.
Hi, it's Margot from Florida. Thank you, everybody, for being on this call. In hearing all the progress of recovery, because that's where I'm at today. I remember when I had a sponsee and she was not interesting and she just wanted to be under the pain, getting more hurt and more hurt. And I was like that. I wasn't ready. I didn't want a solution. And so having the sponsee gives me more strength to continue my program in recovery. And I don't, you know, when sometimes I see the sponsor struggling, I will have to suggest, get into the food plan, your food plan with dignity of choice, or get a nutritionist. I am not that person when they're struggling. So I had to say to her, this is my food plan from my sponsor. And I told them, do you want this solution? Do you want this program? Do you want this recovery? But it took a lot of effort, and for me, it took me that long. So I had to be patient and tolerant of other. So I am a compassionate person, but there's a time that I set a limit for them to share. And sometimes, yeah, they go on and on and on and on and on and on. And I said, well, let's get back onto the book. Let's get back onto the book. It is so nice to know that I have that program. I have this recovery that I know I don't have to go on and listen, that I'm not a psychiatrist or a therapist. For today, I have this Life of Solution of program. And so, yes, I'm not perfect, but I'm also grateful that I'm doing the best I can. And this is what the program is all about. I am not God. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Margot P. Lines are open for two more people.
Dion R.
Hi, Dion.
Hi.
Ann B.
Patty T.
Ann B. Patty, I got the two for right now, and so if something goes awry, I'll get you. But I think we're going with Dion and Ann. Dion, you're up for three.
Okay, yes. Hi, this is Dion R. Very grateful to be on the line this morning. Yes, very grateful to be on the line and hear about working with others, which is the bright spot of my life. And it's also a necessary part of my life. Sometimes it's not so bright. Sometimes I don't feel it. But I know I got to do it anyway because love what one of our fellows said, you know, I sponsor 100% rate. That was priceless. At a 100% rate, I've been recovering and recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body for a few years now because I continue to sponsor and pass on my recovery. I try to pass it on, the recovery. You know, what was freely given to me. I'm trying not to pass the mess, you know. Years, I was in the program 20-some years complaining, and they didn't sponsor me, right? They. Now it's more like me. How can I be of service, God? I know I'm not perfect, and I've made a lot of blunders on the way, but I love it because you guys love me anyway. A lot of my sponsees love me anyway through it all. You know what I mean? I love it because they kept coming back, and I'm here. But also, like when it said, if they want you to be a banker or a therapist, and I heard many people say, like, I think that's what we could use now, we'll say for nurse, for esprits or whatever. You know, we could gently guide them and say, you might want to do counseling. You might want to do this, you know. And I love the sponsor-sponsee relationship because I'll pass with this. That's how I got my greatest friendships in this rooms of Alcoholics Overeaters Anonymous is because of that fact. You know, I was able to trust someone, and they trust me, but I learned also how to back up and teach my sponsees how to back up. So it's just beautiful. It's a good give and take, and friendships, like they say in the Bible, it will last forever. I got married through you guys, you know, and a whole lot of other stuff years ago, so buried some people with you guys' support, you know what I mean? So I'm still trudging, and I love the road of happy destiny, but I know I can't keep it like one other fellow. It's my charge. That's my duty. That's what I really need to pay, give back what was freely given to me, and I thank you guys for being on the line and being my hope for today. Take care.
Thank you, Dion R. And D, star one, please. It's your turn for three.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 15 years. And one of the differences between alcoholism and compulsive overeating is this idea that people are hungover after they've been drunk, and they may be very sick for a day, and they may want someone to take care of them, and that can be enabling. And some people have misinterpreted some of the language in this chapter as saying that you should drop a sponsee if they relapse, which I strongly disagree with. That's not really what it says. You know, what it's saying is we shouldn't enable them by taking care of them and taking away the consequences of what they've done to themselves. However, we should that doesn't mean, I've heard people say, oh, I dropped the sponsee because she chose to pick up, right? And no, people don't choose to pick up. They're powerless over food. That's step one. What it says in here overall is you don't drop them unless they don't want to work with you. And if they're in relapse and they're working, it doesn't mean to drop them. And, you know, sometimes, and I've heard people say, oh, if they haven't recovered in if they haven't worked the steps in 2 weeks, then give up on them or something. And, you know, the book is pretty clear, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know, and I have seen people work on this for 20 years and gradually come to it, gradually come to abstinence, gradually come to the spiritual awakening. And if they're willing to work on it, then that doesn't mean drop them, even if they're slow. And I think, you know, one of my problems is watching people get dropped prematurely, I think, and that often causes them to drop out of program. And so, but definitely not enabling them, definitely. So I'll pass.
I can hear you, Melanie.
Well, thanks so much, KB. I'm looking for Patty because we do have about three more.
Oh, hi. It's Patty here. Yes.
Take about 2 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Melanie. You know, you guys, I'm Patty. I'm recovering from Southern California, and I just can't thank you all enough for these amazing shares this morning. I have learned so much, and I just want to put it out there. I am so grateful for my sponsor because she is taking me through these steps and through this big book in the way that it's directed, and I am gaining so much recovery and awareness. I can't say enough. So anyway, all of you have a wonderful day, and just know I love you for being in my life. I'll pass.
Well, thank you. There's probably about, 90 seconds or less. Does somebody want to have a chance to be able to comment very quickly, or do we want to move on?
Natalie G.
This is Penny C.
Natalie G. I got a little Natalie G on the top of the pile there. On your mark, get set, go for less than 90.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Natalie G., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I'm not going to take very long. I just wanted to say thank you, everyone. I can't believe I sponsored for so long without ever even looking at this chapter. I just read the OA information. And here's all the instructions, and here's all your wonderful guidance. Thank you so much. I am learning a ton. That's all. Thank you.
And that's a great way to take out, a great note to take us out from this particular recorded session. So thanks all that was in service this morning. And I would like to encourage us now to take a listen while Abby S. reads from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Stick around to say the serenity prayer, and then we'll go into the next last part of our meeting. So stay here with us. Good morning, Abby. Star one. Go ahead and speak, Abby.
Hello, this is Abby. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in